This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. What does the Weather Channel app share in common with a personal trainer and a life coach? It's an ally on your quest to wellness. What you do with its insight is up to you. Like running an extra mile when air quality is good, or checking your allergy forecast so not even ragweed can disrupt your chi. It's more than a weather app. What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show, where I welcome Kelly Miller. Kelly is a psychotherapist, best-selling author, and radio host, and she has also recently launched her relationship book, Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues, and has the award-winning book, Thriving with ADHD. And today, Kelly and I talk about some of the common relationship issues she has found in her practice that she writes about in Love Hacks and how to fix them. So Kelly and I talk about what to do when you don't feel in love with your partner anymore, or if your partner doesn't feel in love with you, how to have a conversation around that, how to navigate that, what to do if social media is damaging your relationship, and even if you don't feel like it's damaging it, some things to think about around social media and some boundaries that we talk about. And then another one that I really liked was what to do when you want different things in the relationship. And lastly, we get to compromise and how to listen better. I really enjoyed this conversation with Kelly. She gives some very specific tools and tips that you can start applying today. I share some personal things that I'm dealing with around social media. I learned what thirst trapping is. I'm really dating myself, but I'm 37. I don't feel that old. But when I didn't know what thirst trapping was, I was like, I gotta look this up. And just a quick little hint, it's basically like when someone posts revealing or sexy selfies or pictures of themselves on social media. And I'm sure if you're listening and you are either doing that or your partner is, you might have some feelings around that. And Kelly and I talk about how to navigate that, you know, with the conversation, some questions to ask ourselves, and so much more. As always, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Enjoy today's show. Hi, Kelly. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Today, we're going to talk about the topic of your new book, which comes out the day before Valentine's Day. This is actually going to air after, but I just love that timing. That's beautiful. And I went through the table of contents, and as I told you in the pre-show, picked out some things that piqued my interest, and we'll get to those. But I wanted to ask you why you decided to write this book, and we'll talk about how you picked the most common relationship problems, and then we'll dive into it.
Okay, sure. So the reason I wrote Love Hacks is because I kept having couples come into my office and they were presenting the same issues over and over. And I thought, this is great. I can help these people in my office. But what about the people who aren't attending therapy? And can we help couples who maybe don't have the time or resources for couples therapy? And I also think, you know, people need quick and effective. And so if they don't really have the time to delve into a process, can we just help them with some solutions right away so they can help their relationship? And so that's why I wrote it.
We love quick and effective solutions here on this podcast. I love it. Just super applicable things. I also like going big picture. That's cool and interesting, but it's nice to be able to drill down. And you've been able to do that for the readers and for your clients. So I want to dive in to the first one that really piqued my interest, and that was when you don't feel in love with your partner anymore. And that's a big one.
It's huge.
Yeah. And you talk a little bit about the stages of relationship, and I thought that would interesting to think about as well. So what were you seeing with clients who don't feel in love with their partner anymore?
Right. So it's very normal, the beginning of a relationship. You are so in love, your hormones are going everywhere, everything is peachy keen. And that's because of these love hormones that develop. And of course, over time, that's just not sustainable. So I think number one, a lot of couples feel like, okay, well, I don't feel what I used to feel, and we're not supposed to. And so what I talk about in the book is there's really two types of love. It's that beginning love that's passionate, that's exciting, right? But then we enter into kind of more of a true intimacy with our partner. It's not going to be that lust, but more a security, a safety, a stability. And I want partners, instead of to think of it as kind of boring and not exciting, but like, no, we have something that can only be built over time. And so I think that I talk a lot about that in the book, but I really want to teach partners that that's okay, that you're shifting out of that passionate love into this, it's called companion love, right? Where you're in a different type of partnership and it's really special. So I think it's natural to kind of wonder like, oh, I didn't feel the same, or I don't feel those same feelings, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. It means your relationship is developing and moving forward.
How can we cultivate that passionate love when we're in the companion love stage, right?
Exactly. Yes. So it's natural for intimacy and sex to ebb and flow in a relationship. It depends on our own stress levels, and there's a variety of factors, obviously. So that's the first thing I want to normalize. I think that that's okay, right? We're not always going to feel in the mood all the time, and there's different things in our lives that are going to affect that. But yes, I think we can get back to that. And to start, I always tell couples, go back to doing some of those exciting things. They've done studies to show that if you do adrenaline-filled activities like roller coaster, rock climbing with your partner, you can start to build some of that excitement again. And so I really advocate for doing something different, right? Getting up, getting dressed up, putting yourself back in the mood, right? Like fake it till you make it, you know, get out there. And then if it has been a while since you've had sex, one technique that I really like is called sensate focus therapy. And it's really great for couples who maybe are almost scared to kind of embark on sex again, or there's been sexual trauma or whatever it may be. And it's a technique that I detail in Love Hacks where it's focusing more on the sensation and the touch and kind of the connection rather than orgasm and sex, right? It's more about sensation. It's a really beautiful way to kind of introduce and start and feel connected.
We've talked about sensate focus in the past, and yeah, it's a very valuable exercise. And I would say that introducing novelty and something like sensate focus is valuable at any stage of the relationship. Obviously, the second date, you're getting to know the person, but I notice I'm dating and I have a girlfriend now, and I'm very much a creature of habit. Like I'm a homebody. I do the same thing every day and I love it. And I really have to become conscious of getting outside of that routine. I just had this experience that my girlfriend visited the other week. We're in a long distance relationship. And I was like, all right, let's go. I live in Costa Rica, and let's go on a waterfall hike. And it's a waterfall hike, you know, I've done many times. And it was amazing how rejuvenating it was. Not necessarily to us. For us, it was great and we connected. Sure. And it was beautiful shared experience, but just individually, like I needed that. And it's not natural to me. And I don't think maybe for most people, you know, we like routine, we get comfortable. So really bringing awareness around that, no matter the stage you're in. And it was just great. Like I was like, wow, I'm glad we did that. And we had all these good hormones going between us, and yes, things felt nice.
I love that. I love Costa Rica, by the way. It's one of my favorite places. And I've done the hikes. They're gorgeous. But I think you're onto something. You know, I think people wait for the feeling, like, oh, well, I'm going to wait till I feel motivated. And I always say, do the action and the feeling will come, right? So you did the action. You're like, all right, I'm going to do this hike. And then the feeling came. And so I think that's where we have to approach it, where the feeling might not necessarily be there, but it will after you do it. And that will be helpful to some people.
I love that. And I'm sure there's a whole, you know, neurobiology behind doing the action and the feeling will come. And that is such a great framework for all of relationship, because we don't want to have that tough conversation. That's uncomfortable. And we're like, we want to feel connected, but you can't think your way into feeling connected. You have to do the action and know that the feeling will come.
It's very true. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard work. And I'm glad you brought up the hard conversations, because that's essential. And that also creates closeness amongst couples. I mean, yes, it's so uncomfortable, but if you can do that hard work, that's where that authenticity comes in and where that connection shows through.
So the idea that I'm not in love with my partner anymore, or that our partner is not in love with me, that's big, and that can feel scary on either side. What would you tell someone in regards to sharing that with their partner and sure. how to do so, and then how to process that if you're on the receiving end?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. It's very scary. I think the first piece is really getting honest, right? On either side, and getting vulnerable and saying, hey, I'm a little scared. You know, I don't know if I have the same feelings. Because that in itself, sometimes we hold on to that. It's like, it's eating us alive. And we do need to share those things with our partner. And then I think we look at it as a collaborative effort, right? Okay, so, you know, we're a team here. How can we come back to what we were? Or, you know, on the other partner's side, is there something I can do that would make you feel differently? You know, maybe there's some resentments that we need to kind of go through and uncover. So I think there's just a lot of work that can be done before that decision of like, oh, I'm done. It's over. I'm not in love with you. I think we're very quick to just want to exit because it is uncomfortable. But I think if we can do some of that work, at least attempt it. And I'd rather couples really attempt it and then say, hey, just wasn't there for me anymore. We did X, Y, and Z. It's like, okay, I applaud you for trying. And so, yes, if we can try these emotional techniques and uncover a lot of those things, I think that would be super helpful. And it's not easy. It's not easy work, but it is necessary.
I want to go on to another relationship issue, but first I want to ask you, is there anything from that topic of not feeling in love with our partner anymore that you want to emphasize or that maybe I skipped over?
Yeah. I mean, so I detail the techniques to help feel that way in Love Hacks. And I'm happy to give one right now, just in case, you know, listeners are feeling that way, that will help them. One of the key things to me is reminding ourselves why we fell in love with our partner in the first place, right? What was it about your partner that, you know, you, because there was something there at one time, right? And so we have to kind of come back to that. We can sort of take our partner for granted or think the grass is always greener. So one technique that I recommend with my couples is I want them each to write a love letter to each other and talk about when they first met and what was it that made them fall in love with their partner. Because I think sometimes we just need those reminders. Well, yeah, I really liked X, Y, and Z about him or her. And that'll help us come back to a little bit of that place. And it's just a simple technique. But we all need reminders.
I love that. And it makes me also think of the importance of gratitude just as a practice, that we can certainly write a letter and that's beautiful, but making it a daily practice of what am I grateful for about my partner rather than our negativity bias. And,
yes.
And I tend to do this, I think, as a lot of people do, is focusing on what's going wrong. And so if we can just preemptively, maybe you're in love with your partner right now, but make sure that you're focusing on what you're grateful for in the relationship.
I love that. I love your honesty too. It's wonderful because I think it's so relatable to listeners. But I think you're right. I think our mind just goes to what's not working. So how can we solve it? And in doing so, we're almost doing it in a good way of like, okay, I want to fix this. I want to make it even better. But you're right. We skip over that other piece that's like, oh, wait, there's a lot that is working in this. And there's a lot that I love about my partner. So I love that exercise and really just focusing on what is working in the relationship.
And it's interesting being the host of a relationship advice podcast where I'm not giving the advice. I'm just right there with our listeners. But I love relationships. I love improving myself, improving the relationships. But I notice exactly what you just said. And I think a lot of the people that are tuning in, they're here because they want to improve their relationship. So there's like this focus almost intrinsically on what's not working and I want to fix it. And it comes from a beautiful place of desire. But it's that focus, I can only speak for myself, is like what's not working. It's like sure. I'm working to take, let's say, 90% of my bandwidth goes toward what's not working from a positive place. I'm trying to almost flip that and just be like, what is working? What is working? For the most part, if you fell in love with someone, there's a reason and there's lots of good things. And yeah, just to make that a practice.
Yeah. Well, and I think also the reminder that no relationship or person is perfect. And I think we can kind of get caught up in that, like, okay, but wait, maybe somebody else would be better or I could have a better relationship. And, you know, and it's like, okay, but wait, I just have to focus in on that this is working for me. And I don't want to get caught up in that, in the perfectionism.
Yes. Good reminders for myself. So thank you. Let's go on to another one that really grabbed my attention. And it's a product of our time, I think it's just going to become more and more tricky to navigate, and that is social media and its effect on relationships. So what are you seeing from your clients on these issues?
So I think social media has a lot of beautiful benefits and it can connect people all over the world. And then I also think in relationships, it can be damaging because I think what's happening is before all of this technology, I think we spent a lot more quality time with our partner, undivided attention. And I think what's happening now, it's so easy to get distracted. And they've done studies on dates when people even have their phones out, people feel less connected. I think there's this idea that at any point I can be interrupted, right? And so I think when it comes to partnerships, we need to put some boundaries around the phone and social media so that we can get back to that quality connection with our partners. And that's hard because there's an addiction quality to it. I mean, I see it all the time with even myself, right? It's like the beep goes off, the dopamine hit, oh my gosh, you know, and you got to catch up and you lose focus and things like that. So you're right. In Love Hacks, I really talk about, okay, let's examine, you know, is this damaging our relationship one way or the other? Is my partner obsessing over social media or am I really kind of seeing that I'm losing focus in this relationship because this other exciting thing is interesting to me?
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. Women's health, especially PMS and perimenopause, has been one of those chronically neglected areas when it comes to research and solutions. Thankfully, we have today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Our sponsor, Happy Mammoth, saw that there were no effective nature-inspired solutions to these issues. So they made one, Estrogen Control. Relationship advice listeners can now get 15% off your entire order on happymammoth.com with our promo code IDO at checkout. Estrogen Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health. The way Estrogen Control eases PMS is pretty interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that is where all of our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, some women may start having PMS symptoms, like spots on the skin, cravings, and feeling low all of a sudden. Estrogen Control was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month. Estrogen Control is made especially for women who are premenopausal. It's really great for perimenopause when hormones start to fluctuate and PMS becomes really rough. I personally struggle from PMS firsthand, from super discomfort to just not feeling like myself. PMS has put me through the ringer time and time again, and I know it's not just me. I've seen my relationship suffer in those times when PMS takes over. EstroControl works to relieve many of those consuming PMS symptoms, helping us regain control. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with a promo code IDO at checkout. That's happymammoth, MAMMOTH.com, and use the promo code IDO for 15% off your first order. We all use skincare products to try and take better care of ourselves. And this year, I've been really focused on taking better care of my skin and doing it only by using products that are sustainable and nature focused. I know that I always feel better when the products I'm using are good for me and good for the environment. We've all tried our fair share of nature-focused brands, and let's be real, most of them fall short when it comes to feeling like you're taking care of your skin and the planet. Thankfully, Osea is different, and they're offering Relationship Advice listeners 10% off right now. Osea's products help your skin feel and look its physical best and give you the confidence of knowing they're backed by nearly 30 years of environmentally focused ethical practices and scientific development. Leave it to a mother-daughter founding team to infuse that much care into a brand. If you're a skincare junkie, you've probably been hearing a lot about Osea's star ingredient, Undaria algae. Undaria algae is a supremely hydrating seaweed that acts as a skin superfood. It's rich in nutrients like sodium, iron, potassium, calcium, and vitamins B1, B2, B3, B6, and B12. It works to replenish skin's moisture barrier, and it's the secret sauce for a healthy glow. Now let's talk a little bit about their sustainability. Osea isn't just jumping on this green bandwagon. It's part of their DNA. Osea has been a clean, vegan, cruelty-free brand for decades. They're one of the first skincare companies to become climate neutral certified. And in 2002, they became the first ocean positive skincare brand. It's not just about looking good. It's about feeling good and knowing your skincare choices align with your values. Ready to give your skin the care it deserves? Dive into Osea at Osea Malibu and use the code RELATIONSHIPADVICE10 for 10% off. Again, that's Osea, O-S-E-A, Malibu.com and get 10% off when you use the code RELATIONSHIPADVICE10 at checkout.
I think it's so interesting how a new idea, a new technology that 10 years ago, no one was even thinking about. It's longer for social media, but I'm saying it could be anything. And then suddenly it's normalized. And I think we've normalized, like, I got to respond to this text, and we've normalized having our phones out and are really beginning to understand the damage that it can do to all of our interpersonal relationships, to the relationship with ourselves. Even if you're single and listening, comparison and just the yes. time waste and all this. So I know it's kind of like beating a dead horse. It's in the cultural dialogue, but I don't think, even myself, like I think about it, but when I really stop and go, wow, this is not serving me. I think it's just such an important thing to have those boundaries, but really, really, man, it's like, I know there's benefits, but I think the negative aspects far outweigh the benefits if we really stop to think about it.
I think you're spot on. And one simple hack is really when you are with your partner, can you make a commitment? Hey, we're together for a few hours. Can we just both put our phones away? Right? We'll come back to it. It'll be there. Your texts will be waiting, your emails, but let's just make a commitment, or just during dinner. Hey, half hour to an hour, we're done. And so those simple things, and it's hard at first, right? Like any habit you're going to change, it's going to be like, oh, but then it becomes really beautiful of, well, I mean, I even see it, funny enough, I've got two boys. And sometimes when my younger son loses privileges, like, you know, at first he's upset, but then it's almost like something shifts and he enjoys the time without the technology. And it's like, oh, okay, this other world has opened up that I forgot about because this, you know, video games are so exciting, but oh, wait, I forgot. I love throwing the football around and some of those things. So I think couples can recognize that. Oh yeah, I forgot what I'm missing here.
How do we navigate the boundaries and the line between having boundaries and maybe exerting qualities of control, you know, trying to control our partner?
Yeah. I mean, it's very tricky, right? Because yeah, we can only change ourselves. And so what I recommend for partners, if they're noticing that their partner is addicted to social media or on it a lot, I mean, it's really kind of sitting down and saying, you know, it's not assigning blame. It's just really kind of checking in. Hey, I feel like, you know, social media is affecting our relationship. And what can we do for us to be closer, right? And I think that's going to be more receptive to somebody rather than you're on the phone too much and you're doing this and you're doing that. And in Love Hacks, I have a questionnaire on social media to kind of see if it's damaging to your relationship. And I think that's maybe the first step in sort of seeing like, oh, okay, how much am I on? Is it affecting my partner? Am I, after I'm on it, do I feel differently about my partner? You know, these are all really good reflective questions to just sort of be honest and open about. And there's nothing wrong or you're not a bad person. It's really just getting that awareness of, okay, yeah, this is affecting me. And again, it makes sense that it would be an addiction. It's so enticing. And so there's no shame around it. It's just that awareness and then making those steps forward to connect with our partner again.
One of the things I've noticed personally is it's, I won't say triggered, but brought up some insecurities in my relationship in regards to its social media use, but what is being posted. And I noticed with a previous girlfriend, every time we had conflict, she would suddenly be posting more. And that frustrated me because it seemed like rather than dealing with our issue, it was maybe searching. I don't want to overanalyze what was happening, but I do. You know, and it felt like it was looking for external validation and like comfort there. And that was even more frustrating. And then if I brought that to her awareness, that would create defensiveness. And can you talk a little bit about that angle? Or maybe it's not even a fight. Maybe our partner is always posting like cute selfies of themselves. And I feel a bit vulnerable sharing this, but yeah, I'm kind of like, well, what are you looking for? Are you looking for validation from other men? You know, like, and I did some quick searches online just, and it's a thing. There's even a word. I feel I'm dating myself. I'm 37, but I didn't know what thirst trapping was. Have you heard of this?
Yes. God, right. Isn't it but it is funny. Cause like, yeah, I'm of your age, maybe a little older.
I mean, whatever. But yeah,
is it selfies that are like sexy? Is that what it is?
Or if you have a good look, if you have a good looking partner or they don't have to be good, you know, whatever. I think selfies in themselves are sending a message of, hey, look at me.
Look at me. Exactly.
I mean, right.
I'm so glad you brought this up. This is really common. And you're right. It is that external validation, right? I'm feeling insecure about something in our relationship. And so, hey, I need that attention that feels like if I get it, that's going to solve the issue, but it's not, right? It's an illusion. So in Love Hacks, I talk about what I call using the mirror on why, right? So it's really getting into that awareness of why am I doing that, right? Why am I posting selfies? And so getting honest. And again, I don't want people to go into that shame spiral like they're bad, but it's just a reflective awareness of like, oh, okay, because I'm feeling insecure. I got into an argument with my partner and I want to feel good again. So I'm doing that. Or I'm posting because I want to escape and, you know, people are going to make comments and I'm going to forget about, you know, something that happened previously. So I think there's just a lot of reasons, but if we can use the mirror on why and check in, that'll help us not only like our relationship, but our own internal traumas and wounds. And we can start healing that way.
How can we have that conversation? It's certainly good. We want to self-reflect, but how could I approach my partner who is posting that? And I'm not trying to change them. And I've thought about this. It's to me, it's coming from a place of curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Right. So one thing I would say is I think, again, people are going to be much more receptive if you make it about your relationship rather about them. And so I think I would approach it. You know, I've noticed, you know, when we argue, you know, there are times that you post, you know, is there something as a relationship or partnership we can do so that this doesn't happen? Or is there something that I can do to help you feel more secure? You know, going around that approach, I think is that the partner is going to be less defensive, right? Because again, like you said, like we can't change anybody else. They're going to have to want to do it from themselves. But I think if we attack it at that angle, it's certainly helpful. And it's hard. It's hard because, you know, it is work on your end per se, but I think that's a way to get through a little easier.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. After a decade of hosting this podcast and talking to hundreds of experts, we know that money is one of the biggest stressors in relationships. Now, while worrying about money and anxiously awaiting payday doesn't help, Earnin actually does by putting the money you earn in your hands today. Our sponsor, Earnin, is an app that gives you access to your pay-as-you-work up to $100 a day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an additional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Many couples end up fighting about finances, especially when surprise costs arise. Earnin allows you to seamlessly deal with the unexpected trip to the vet or that splurge on date night without the added stress, letting you both focus on what really matters. Earnin is helping millions of Americans feel self-sufficient and to worry and fight less about money. All of this without debt traps, mandatory fees, or credit checks. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in relationship advice under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's relationship advice under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach, integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Yeah, man, social media and just the internet in general. I think in 20 years, we're going to look back and hopefully have better relationship with it. And there's awareness around it, but our monkey minds that are dealing with this technology that we weren't meant to relate to others through this medium. And it's, I think, just bringing awareness around that and lots of awareness. Cause as you mentioned, even when you're aware, like you'll pick up your phone and suddenly 30 minutes later, you're looking at cat videos and you're like, I just wanted to check the weather.
So true, right? Well, it's so true because like I even noticed that I get up in the morning, I check my emails and then I'm like scrolling. I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like it's so habitual now. And so it's so true. And you can spend hours and you're right. It's like, oh my God, where did the time go? What have I just been doing?
Yeah. And for me, there's different tools bringing awareness, but I really enjoy just sometimes I've deleted apps, you know, Instagram, and then I'll use my motivated reasoning to say, well, I need it for my business, which is somewhat true, but I could delete my personal, you know, and it's just interesting observing that and bringing awareness around it. And certainly an easy place to start is having some boundaries. I think, I don't know if you would disagree, but across the board, mealtimes, the phone is locked up, not even on the table, because that also sends a message like, get that away. And you mentioned you have kids. I have an 8-year-old daughter, and I want to set an example for her as well. And for her to know that she's more important than anything that's going to happen on my phone.
You're right. No, I 100% agree with that. I think that's a great rule of thumb in general with partners, with families. Yes, that is your bonding time. And I also have a rule in my car of no phones in the car, because so much connection can happen in the car. There's nowhere to go. There's not. And so we want to use that valuable time. So I think, it's just, enforcing those boundaries, which are going to be, again, hard to practice at first, but then really, really beneficial.
Awesome. So I want to go on to another one, but is there anything that you want to emphasize from social media that we didn't go over?
I mean, I think, it's interesting when you were talking about deleting the apps and things like that. And I think that can be beneficial too, but I also think it doesn't have to be so black and white, right? It's like we're on or we're off. It's just like, it's just getting disciplined with, okay, how much time are we going to set aside for this? Or putting on a timer and saying, look, I'm going to be on social media for a half hour and I know myself, so I'm going to literally put on a timer or, something like that where just, and if you can't do that, then maybe it's looking into that next step of like, okay, maybe I'll be better off deleting. But I think we can, there is a gray area too, for those who are struggling of like, oh, I can't delete it, but I don't know what to do. I think there's that middle ground.
Balance. It's such such a tricky thing, but I'm glad we covered some of that. Let's go on to another one that came up in your book, and that is what to do when you want different things. So could you give an example of a couple that comes to this realization that they want different things?
Sure. So I think maybe it's a couple who wants kids. And then once they have kids, they've decided, oh yeah, we're both going to be, we're both going to be dual income. We got this all figured out. And then, one partner realizes, I don't want to go back to work. I actually want to stay home with the kids. And it's like, okay, wait, but I thought we'd agreed that we were going to, our lifestyle is going to change. What does this look like? So it's something like that, where sometimes we don't know we want different things until something is presented. And so this is very common. And it's like, okay, but like who wins and, what happens in these scenarios? Or, one couple wants to stay where they're living and another person says, I don't want to live here anymore. I want to geographically move to Costa Rica, somewhere else. So it's things like that, that often, when we're in love in the beginning, it doesn't even feel like it's going to be an issue. And then once you're really wrapped up in relationships, these things can happen.
One of the things that stands out in these situations is the word compromise for me. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely a skill. So how do you guide partners to compromise in these situations?
Sure. I love that you said that. One of the techniques I talk about in Love Hacks is something I called who is more emotionally invested. And it's a scaling system. And I use 1 through 10. So 10 is you are highly invested in this decision. 1 is, I really don't care too much about it. So I'll just give a basic example of, two partners want to do different things on a Saturday night. And one really wants to see this movie coming out. And one wants to go to a sports game. And so I would ask the partners, like, how invested are you 1 through 10 to see this movie? And she may say, I'm like an 8 because the last 3 times we've done what he's wanted to do. And I've been dying to see this movie. And then I'll, and ask him, how emotionally invested are you going to the sports game? It's not my favorite team. I'd give it like a 4. And so it's just a really honest way to kind of check in with partners and see where they are. Because at the moment, it can feel like, oh my God, we're both really tied to this. And so I think it's just a nice check-in that partners can do, or it can even happen with arguments, right? Where I'll have partners like, oh my God, he made the biggest deal about it. And he was like, no, I really didn't think it was that big of a deal. And I'll say, next time I want you both to sort of check in, like, how big of a deal is this to you? Oh, it's a 3. Really? Because I thought it was a 10 for you. And then they kind of, you know, check back in, because we can create our own narratives really nicely in our head. And so we have to do that challenge. But who is more emotionally invested is just a really great way to compromise amongst couples.
I love that quantification. And I think it's so valuable for our own self-reflection, because we can be like, oh, I really want this. And we're digging our heels in. And the reasons are not for the ones we think they are, right? And so that reflection is like, oh, wait, I don't really care that much. I'm a 3 and I'm actually just trying to win. And I got to unpack all that.
Yes. The ego is huge, right? And you might like this because you sound spiritual. Once I heard ego is edging God out. I thought that was really interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And what would you tell that hypothetical person? I'm not saying it's me that feels like they need to win. What would you tell them to be able to be okay with not being right or acquiescing to what our partner wants?
Sure. I think it's that reminder that we are a unit in a relationship, right? We're not winning best place at being an individual in the relationship. I want you to think of it as winning the best as a couple. So if you can look at it through that framework, it will help you get out of that individual mentality. It's like, okay, wait, we're together here. And the reminder that, you know, the truth is in relationships, you're going to win some, quote unquote, you know, the other person's going to win some. So it's like knowing that there is a natural balance to this partnership and knowing that, like, okay, this time, you know what, I didn't get my way. That's okay. Because I know at some point it's going to swing back around. And that would be helpful.
What would you tell someone who feels it's really not equitable and maybe objectively it's not, you know, and that has all kinds of reasons, you know, they want to keep the peace, whatever. What would you tell them in regards to dealing with that for themselves and bringing that to their partner?
So do you mean it's not equitable, like meaning like they don't feel respected or the other person wins all the time?
Yes. Yeah. They feel like the other person always gets their way.
Oh, okay. So I think that's a proactive conversation that I would have before it gets heated, right? So it would be something along the lines of, you know, I've been thinking about it. I love our relationship. I love our connection. I just feel as if sometimes it just doesn't feel it's totally even. And I've noticed, you know, a lot of times we've been doing activities that you want to do. And I'm just wondering if we could throw the balance a little bit more my way too. And, you know, something like that, where it's just a compassionate conversation. It doesn't come from a place of defensiveness. Or again, it's like, we have to remember, you know, we want our partners to be receptive to what we're saying. So we have to say things delicately in order for that person to respond well. And so that's something that I would have before, you know, it gets heated again. Like the next time they're arguing is not the best time to say it.
I love that. Well, we've covered 3 great common relationship issues. Is there another one that we can wrap up with that's really stuck out to you or that you think Sure. Our listeners should hear?
Yeah, I think often something I hear is, you know, and I put it in issue 1 of Love Hacks is, you know, my partner never listens to me. And so I hear that quite a bit. And in Love Hacks, I talk a lot about the difference between hearing and listening, which we can get into a different time. But one little trick that I like to think about is using these I statements that will be really helpful with our partners. So we're very quick to blame, and you did this, and, you know, I can't believe you did that. And again, once somebody hears that, they automatically shut down. So we want to speak in a way that our partner can really hear us. And so using I statements is going to be key, right? So I feel upset when you came home late, or, you know, something like that, where it focuses on our own feelings. And then our partner can really connect of like, oh, okay, I see that hurt them, right? Rather than you always come home late, you forgot the milk, you did this. So it's focusing on our own vulnerability, which will be, there's going to be a deeper connection among the partnership if we can do that.
It's such a valuable skill to cultivate. And I'm just always amazed through these conversations how this is not the first time I've heard that, but it's so good to have these reminders. Same for our listeners. Maybe that's not the first time you heard it, but we're not taught these relationship skills. A lot of times it's from our parents, from culture, and unfortunately, it's not the best example. So these are beautiful reminders to implement. So thank you so much, Kelly, for sharing this with our listeners today. Before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners about your book, where they can find you online, and then we'll say goodbye.
Okay, sounds great. So the book is Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. And my website is Kelly Miller Therapy. So it's Kelly with an I, and then Instagram, but don't scroll too much. It's Kelly Miller Therapy, again, K-E-L-L-I. And then same with Facebook. And yeah, and I welcome any questions or comments. I love hearing from people. So, you know, feel free to reach out. And thank you so much for having me on. This was a really great conversation.
Well, thank you. We will have those links in our show notes and on our website. And thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day happy couple challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.